This is the inaugural MP3 podcast from the Florida Folklife Collection. My name is Jamie Madden. I'm the audio archivist here at the archives, responsible for the digitization and preservation of the audio materials in this collection. During the processing of the Florida Folklife recordings, we've discovered several exciting performances. Some of them have been included on two promotional compact discs we've released, entitled Music from the Florida Folklife Collection and More Music from the Florida Folklife Collection. These audio selections are also available here on our site. Hopefully, some of you have had a chance to listen to and enjoy those recordings. We felt that podcasting provided yet another excellent means for sharing some of these discoveries with researchers and music lovers. In our first installment, we'd like to feature a performance by a revered figure of the Florida folk community, Gamble Rogers. A raconteur and musician who is remembered as much for his character and warmth of spirit as he is for his music. This performance is from May 27, 1978. It was recorded at the 1978 Florida Folk Festival. Let's hand the microphone over to Cousin Thelma Bolton and Gamble Rogers. Enjoy.
Now let's welcome our very own Florida troubadour, Gamble Rogers.
Hello, everybody. While I adjust this, I'd like to say what a fine festival we've had this year. There hadn't been a speck of rain. And you can't imagine how loose it makes all of us feel up here if we aren't standing undercover and with you all out there under garbage bags. It makes us... Just by blatant implication, it seems to improve the quality of the audience if they're not all clad in garbage bags. Bless your hearts. I did my workshop last year in a garbage bag. So I'd like to ask you to pull in just as close together in spirit as you can and take a deep breath and let it out. Get close together and let's see what we can do here. Set. You can tell you're putting on a few years when a half an hour nap is like a half a gallon of vitamin B1. I had a gal, what a pal, and her name was Sadie Brown. I'd take her out, we'd walk about when the moon was shining down, and the dear little miss, she would give me a kiss, and to her I would sing, Sadie, my little lady, oh, won't you be my ball and chain, yeah. Sorry to admit, I learned this old song off a deputy sheriff from DeKalb County, Georgia. That old boy arrested me. Now he had every high-performance accessory known to humankind on his county pursuit vehicle. He had Goodyear polyglass wide boot series 60 tires, a foot and a half wide, with the big white letters on the side of each tire. It said, Redneck. He had mag wheels, hooker headers, cherry bomb resonators, Delco airlift pleasurizers, spring shackles, chrome tailpipe extensions, a four-speed gear shift, a high-rise manifold, a four-barrel carburetor, and a Le Mans racing stripe. On his Massey Ferguson tractor, he got off that thing, he swaggered up to me, said, "Son, don't you be talking spiteful and nasty and mean at me like none of them hippy-dip communist punks come through here every day from Macon. Driving them Volkswagen microbotic buses with all them sleeping bags and chemical commodes in the bed of them like some kind of mobile orgy. I was writing out a ticket to one of them long-haired fruits. He leaned out the window, he said, "Baby, give me 5 cheeseburgers and a Coke." I pulled him out of that contraption, chucked his tail through a Wake Up America billboard. Now, this was some kind of heavy dude I was talking to. I'd say by the clothes he was wearing that he was a primitive man. Why, he had on a breech clout made out of 2 Fruhoff mud flaps. Wearing a styrofoam pith helmet with an STP decal in the front. Tom McCann penny loafers with quarters stuck in the top. And he was well armed in the tradition of the Georgia law. Over his bare chest, he had 2 45 caliber bandolier belts with the cartridge loops alternately stuffed with Hava Tampa jewels and Slim Jims. A shoulder holster made out of a PF sneaker with a toe cut out. Carrying an axe handle, personally autographed by Lester Maddox. He said, "Boy, I ain't gonna give you no ticket. You're a homeboy. I'll let you off with a traffic warning citation. 9 DeKalb County. Those warning citations are printed up in the form of bumper stickers." He went back and he got me a citation, licked the back of it one time. Slopped it over my car. I went back and read it later on. It said, "Eat more possum." So if any of you good people are around Gwinnett, Calhoun, Clayton, or DeKalb County, Georgia, be careful. Them old boys will flat tear you up. Get to heaven, I'll tell you what to do. You gotta grease your feet in some mutton stew and slide out of the devil's hand and ooze over to the promised land. Take it easy, son. Take it easy, boy, but take it greasy. Let the rough end ride and the slick end slide. Oh, that's Lake City laissez-faire. I'm down in the hen house on my knees. Thought I heard a chicken sneeze. Or just the rooster saying his prayers, thanking the Lord for the hens upstairs. All those roosters praying and the hens are laying, and the little chicks just plugging along the best way they know how. Oh, let's pick this thing now. This is for all you young people. I took me a wife a year ago. Got a little boy now, about 4. He gets up the table, slapped his maw, rubs syrup in my ears, and says, "Ain't you my pa?" run string beans up my nose. Fat back collards, chitlins, white acre peas, side meat and sow belly all over the willow ware. He's a cute kid, but he's messy. That boy is so ugly, he has to ambush breakfast. That child is so unremediably ugly, the day he was born, the doctor who delivered him held him up and got one good look at his face and slapped his mama. That kid ate so much pepper sauce and gopher stew, the outhouse crawled away. Well, now, most of us are Florida natives, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about this song I'm playing. It's an old American folk form called The Original Talking Blues. It was written by an old boy named Lund from West, by God, Virginia. Yeah. The object of this type of music is to keep a straight face while you rhyme all sorts of country nonsense over three chords played on the guitar like this. Here are some verses that I made up about Cape Kennedy, Florida, old Canaveral. It used to be the best trout fishing and duck hunting in Florida over there. Now it's nothing much but cyclone fences and CIA men. Well, I'm down at the blockhouse taking my ease. Thought I heard Alan Shepard sneeze. There's Walter Cronkite on a motorbike going to this Crossways Inn for Lucky Strikes. Something mighty big about to happen out there on the beach. The Apollo rocket sticking straight up in the air. Alan Shepard strapped down in the control chair and the space module on top of that mighty rocket. They're down in the bunker now. They're about to start the countdown. They say 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ground zero, blast off. That rocket's going through the air. It's going through the clouds. It's going through the stratosphere. They radio up to Alan Shepard. They say it's a beautiful flight. Alan, have you got anything to say? Alan Shepard radios back and he says, everything's A-OK and go, go, go. But I sure wish this big bird hadn't been put together by the lowest bidder. Now the lipstick sponsor's going insane. Zsa Zsa fell off the gantry crane. Autograph the nose cone, Revlon's best. Or Modern Cosmetics passed a new heat test. Friends, it's mighty important because you and I are all consumers in the United States. Whether we like it or not, we live in a consumer economy. Now that's based on buying and selling. Mostly we sell and buy goods and services. Basically what that means is the only way people like you and me can have a credit rating is that we have to go down to the bank and borrow some money. Get in debt to get ahead. That's the gross side of the national product. Well now, the lipstick sponsor's going insane. Zsa Zsa fell off the gantry crane. I sang that before and told you all about it. I don't believe I got enough sleep tonight. Friends, you know, we here in America are in a missile race. Yes, sir, we've been in a missile race, an arms parity crisis, ever since the Ruskies sent up the first Sputnik in 1957, it was. Now, what do you suppose might have happened if right after World War II, some of our scientists and politicians and senators and economic advisors had gotten together and decided that all of those ICBM rockets and missiles had had consumer potential? They'd have been advertised, merchandised, cost-plus, cost-minus, market-indexed, market-analyzed, distributed, black-marketed, reported in the Dow Jones Industrials. So by now, every American consumer would have a two-missile garage just keeping up with the Schwartzes. Yes, sir, if we had let the profit motive into the missile race in 1945, why, we would have had Hojo Cola and Gideon Bibles and Ramada Inns and American Motors buyer protection plans on the moon by 1957. We'd have signs up there today saying, Sea Rock City. Stuckey 17 miles. Little red signs all stopped into the asteroids in a row, and it'd rhyme when you went whizzing by in your two-seat sports rocket and say things like this. Well, now dim your lights behind each star and show the folks how bright you are. Burma Shay! Well, now nobody liked the way I talked, so I went out and I took me a walk. I went to some institution and got them to teach me elocution. How now, brown cow? Right now, green bull. Thank you. Well, sir, not too long ago, we had a beautiful day up here at White Springs. I called it Will McLean Day. How about a nice hand for Florida's Will McLean, the Black Hat Troubadour? Well, we had a lot of testimonials, and I'd like to repeat a kind of a little story that I did at that time, which is quite true. And for somebody who tells stories, basically a storyteller just tries to go around and keep his eyes open and pick the story out much the same way that a woodsman at Christmas time goes out in the woods looking for a perfect Christmas tree. And he knows there are lots of trees out there, and he hunts until he finds the best one, and then he takes it back to his house and he hangs a lot of decorations on it. Well, that's all a storyteller does. He sees the stories materialize around him, and he just takes them back, and the decorations that the storyteller uses are words, verbal embellishments. So everything I'm about to say about Will McLean is absolutely true. First time I ever met Will was in Tallahassee, 18 and a half years ago. He invited me on a fishing junket in search of the elusive Florida shellcracker, a species of panfish not unlike your northern crappie, sometimes anglicized as crappie. We got in Will's ancient Chevrolet and we headed off toward beautiful Lake Talquin. Hadn't been driving more than 5 minutes when Will said he had to stop and purchase what he referred to as some possibles. Well, sir, we got some snelled eagle claw fish hooks and some split shot sinker and some monofilament leader wire. Well, we got some lead cord trolling wire and some shear pins and got some Zweibach toast and some Oreo cookies and anchovy paste. Got some Vienna sausage and some motor oil and some shotgun shells, some 20 shoe shorts and some baling wire. And got some STP and some Jim Beam whiskey and some Camel cigarettes. Then we headed off down the road, and we topped that penultimate rise leading down to the lake itself. There we saw laboring in the Florida sunlight a phenomenon rapidly disappearing from the face of this earth, a work gang. Now, you can call them a chain gang if you want to, but there they were in sartorial splendor, laboring jubilantly in the tropical sunlight, rippling muscles, studies in black and gray, singing those marvelous old work chants and ethnic folk songs, working out in the tropical sunlight, happy to be alive and exercising in a healthful manner. As we drew abreast of this rustic tableau, Will wound down the window, slowed the car, and threw his Camel cigarettes out to the chain gang. I said, "Will, you just quit smoking again." Now, Will's always quit. We'll be paddling down the Weikawa River. Well, actually, I always paddle. He sits up front so he can crack those cold ones. All of a sudden, I'll see his latissimus dorsi tautin' beneath his work shirt. And Will McLean, a taut latissimus, is tantamount to grave moral flux and decision-making. His arm will fling outward with purpose, plunge heron-like to his pocket. He'll pull forth his cigarettes, hold them out disdainfully, and then swizzle them in the water and raise them up and squeeze them until a turgid, tar-like excrescence extrudes from the cellophane of the package. He'll slog them in the bottom of the canoe and say, "Jim, I just quit smoking again." I say, "Right on, buddy." 5 minutes later, I'm paddling in his backsliding tail back up the river to get more camels. I've been doing it for 20 years now. So when he threw the smokes out of the window, I thought that he had quit smoking. But he explained to me that if you throw your cigarettes to some prisoners, the guard will let the men knock off and take a smoke break. Now, isn't that a nice thing to know? Well, I reckon you already knew that. Actually, what happens these days is that the prisoners throw us the cigarettes, but it's all part of the same spirit. Here's a song that Will McLean wrote about the first man sentenced to die in Florida's electric chair. His name was Abraham Washington. He was sentenced first to hang, but the hanging law was repealed in the state of Florida, so he was conveyed to Rayford Penitentiary, where he was strapped into the electric chair, that infernal engine of human destruction. The warden and the guard there present then fell into a lengthy debate over who should have the novel experience of pulling the switch and sending the prisoner to his ultimate reward. They argued thus for 45 minutes by the clock while the prisoner literally sweated blood in the electric chair. At the end of this confabulation, an early ACLU legal beagle type came thundering into those chambers wearing a pair of Adidas track shoes and carrying 5 Hermann Hesse novels in one hand and a bowl of granola in the other, and pointed out to these clods that it's illegal to keep a man waiting for his execution beyond a stipulated amount of time. The argument was so long as to be termed cruel and unusual punishment. So they had no recourse but to unstrap the prisoner and let him go. That's how the first electrocution in the state of Florida ended. Well, we seem to have a smattering of liberals here tonight. It is to you that I have to address the next lamentable remarks. Simply that within 10 days of his release time, Abraham Washington killed 32 more men. I'm just kidding. Will, I'm sorry if you can hear me. I'm sorry I said that. Ladies and gentlemen, from the pen of Florida's own Black Cat Troubadour, Will McLean, the Ballad of Abraham Washington. Washington, his first name Abraham, and the judge he vowed he'd ride the rope into the promised land. Before he met his fateful doom, the hanging law was dead. Took him down to Rayford Town to the electric chair instead. And he strapped him to the electric chair, and there while he was waiting, the warden and the county sheriff were talking and debating which one of them should pull the switch and send this man to hell. No decision could be reached, in prison he would dwell. They strapped him to the electric chair, sweat had turned to blood. They told him that his life was spared, and from his eyes did flood the salty tears of gratefulness. It happens to all men. Down on his knees he made this vow to never sit again. A prison gang could ride by pastures that were green. A mother and her baby strolls happy and serene. Suddenly a vicious bull did charge his frightened wife, and Abraham he jumped the fence and he saved a woman's life. A pardon full for Washington, his first name Abraham, who made a vow to never sit again while on this land. The last accounts of Washington, the day was cold and wet. was Abraham if you kept your vow, and he said, I ain't said yet. I know we've got a lot of instrumentalists here, and one of my very first loves was the old flat-top Spanish guitar, just like the one I'm playing. This is an old swing tune. It's a big band tune. Well, as a matter of fact, you might say it came off the soundtrack of a silent movie. It's called The Sheik of Araby. The Sheik of Araby, and your love belongs to me. Yes, at night when you're asleep, into your tent I'll creep. And the stars that shine above will light our way to love, and you rule my land with me. You know I'm the Sheik of Araby. Make a little flurry now. Oh, I hear you. Do that, I'll pick this up all night long. I sell myself cheap. And you rule my land with me. You know I'm the Sheik of Araby. I'm the Sheik of Araby. I'd like to ask your help on something right now. I remember back when I was a boy, the first time I ever really got turned on to group singing was in a little Methodist church in Sawtee Valley, Georgia. And I liked it so much that the music we sang, the preacher was a circuit rider. And he was often late to services because the roads were bad. So we would amuse ourselves in waiting by just singing hymns. We would hold up our hands and call out our favorite hymn, and everybody would sing it. Sometimes we'd do this for 30 or 40 minutes while he was coming. And I liked some of those hymns so much that I must confess that I purloined a hymnal so I could learn them. I did take the hymnal back about 2 weeks later, so I don't think any harm was done. Now, this was one such song, and I wonder if you wouldn't help me sing it. You know, if you've listened to any Dixieland music, you know that some of these old hymns swing marvelously. And let's see if we can't swing this just a little bit. What I'm hoping is that you'll sing it with me.
And just a closer walk with thee.
That's nice.
Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Now I'll tell you what we're going to do. Stay right with me. That's beautiful, but we need a rhythm section. Now this is the foundation of the rhythm section. Here, listen. Now we don't need to do any hand clapping on this. Seems to me that what we need are some cymbals, like a drummer's cymbals. So if somebody will, when I say somebody, I mean about 400 of you, will do like this. Now listen. Anybody stop. You're going to have to do that now for just about 6 minutes. So pace yourself. Now what we need is a little chorus. In show business, they say a chorus of chick singers. But we can have some basses and baritones in here now. The drum cymbals are just beautiful. Some of them fell off. Come on now. That's all right. That's perfect. All right, now, that's perfect. Keep that going. Now, the chorus comes in and goes,
oh, my Lordy, Lord. Oh, my Lordy, Lord. Oh, my Lordy.
Where are you, chorus?
Oh, my Lordy, Lord. Oh, my Lordy, Lord.
A little harmony now.
Oh, my Lordy, Lord. Oh, my Lordy, Lord.
You absolutely blow me away. Make it a little stronger. Now I'm going to sing over the top of it, and you have to stay right with me. Promise you'll do it?
And just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
All right, now that's just beautiful, but it lacks something. I think it lacks some wood blocks. Beautiful. Beautiful. Perfect. Now let's hear that chorus again.
And just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be. Let it be.
Sing it with me now.
When my feeble life is o'er,
and time for me shall be no more. Guide me softly, gently, o'er to thy kingdom shore. To thy shore, let's keep the blocks in and the cymbals, and let's let the guitar speak now. We've got two more big, wonderful days out here, and I hope you'll all take part in it. And I want to thank Cousin Thelma for being able to come up here, and it's a tremendous honor to be here anytime with all these good people. And let's just take it out like this, because I know there are a lot of country music lovers here, and I'm one of them. I'll never forget the first time I went to see my initial Grand Ole Opry show. It was Ernest Tubb and Earl Scruggs and Mother Maybelle and the Carter Girls and John R. Cash. But the little lady who stole our hearts away that night was named Martha Carson. She came out wearing a miraculous white dress and carrying a tiny tambourine with which she testified to the likes of Moses and Jesus. In those days, there were just two kinds of music that swung for the white world: Dixieland and white gospel music. Now, why didn't this white gospel music swing the way it did? Well, over on her left side, Miss Carson had a big burly fellow slapping an upright bass into a hot microphone in double time. It sounded like a whole rhythm section all by itself. And up on the other side, she had three young men in business suits singing into one microphone, sort of like the Jordanaires. And over on the other side, a young man about 17 years old, glasses quarter of an inch thick, picking a big blonde Gibson guitar through a 1 foot square Sears Roebuck amplifier, sitting up on a chair. He sounded a little bit like this. Gentlemen, can I have just a little more guitar? Got to slapping that little tambourine against her leg, shaking out the hem of that dress, singing a little bit like this. On the rock where Moses stood, on the rock where Moses stood, well, if I could, I surely would stand on the rock where Moses stood. Oh, sinner, remember me. Oh, sinner, remember me. Well, if I could, I surely would stand on the rock where Moses stood. About 6 months later, we all went back to see another Grand Ole Opry show. They brought out a young man from Memphis, Tennessee. They said, be kind to this boy. We know he's going to be a star. About that time, a strange-looking young fella came skittering out from the edge of the stage wearing a burgundy-colored tuxedo shirt. Had on pink pants and black and white saddle Oxfords, and had his hair done up in a ducktail with peroxide. First thing I noticed about this kid was he moved kind of funny. I never could do that too well. Next thing I noticed was he was using Martha Carson's little guitar man. That big burly bass player, and those old boys were playing the same righteous church licks behind him they'd played behind the lady. But this time they played a whole lot in the sovereign key of E. That's the key of the people. College, and you may go to school, where you may drive pink Cadillac, don't you be nobody's fool. Oh baby, come back baby doll, come back baby doll, well come back baby, I wanna play house with you. Well, baby, 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 come back baby, I wanna play house with you. Huh. Understand, I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man. Well, now come back, baby doll, come back, baby doll. Well, come back, baby, I wanna play house with you. Well, baby, 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 baby. Those of us who weren't too stunned to move went surging backstage. We leaned out there, we said, who is that boy with the red shirt on? They said, boys, that's the hillbilly cat. We said, what's his name? They said, Elvis Presley. And he was about 17 and a half years old, and Randy is a boar coon. I'd like to go way, way back and try to close out with a little song that shows right where this 1950s rock and roll, this rockabilly music, came from. It didn't come out of the jukes and the saloons of Memphis, Tennessee. It came out of the churches of our land. Music did. The impetus for the music did. Those hot licks and that swing and that feeling. They just changed the words around a little bit. It still swung just the same. It came out of the hearts and the mouths of the Sam Cooks and the Martha Carsons and the Jordanaires, the Aretha Franklins. Swing low, sweet chariot. Now, don't you know that you can sing it straight like you did around the campfire? Swing low. Or you can say, well, well, well. That's what the gospel singers did. Well, well, well. Swing low. Let's hear you do it. Swing low. Now you got to get loose. And you got to do that gospel. Well, well, well. Now that's pretty good, but you got to get that flutter. Well, well, well. Anybody can do it. It sounds good, but it's just like a trick. Like so many things that sound good. Well, well, well. Get way back in the throat, kind of whisper. Well, well, well. That's good. Come on. Well, well, well. Swing
low, sweet chariot. Fluttered a little bit. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come in for to carry me. Sweet chariot, stop it, let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop it, let me ride. Well, rock me, Lord, come and easy. I've got a home on the other side. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop it, let me ride. Swing down, chariot, let me ride. Rock me, Lord, come and easy. I've got a home on the other side. This old house once knew my children. This old house once knew my wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storm of life. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house knew me to shout. Now she trembles in the darkness as lightning walks about. I ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix no shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Got time to no hinges, no to mend no window pane. I'll need this house no longer. Getting ready to meet the same.
All right. Okay. Let's cool off. Pay you $3 tomorrow and come back. And this is the end of the evening program. Hasn't it been a great program? God bless you all. Good night.